a very good and beautiful and nice life, if we want to live this sort of life, a nice, beautiful and good life, then the first thing that we need, that our life becomes an ideal life, for this, the first thing that we need, the first condition to be fulfilled, is that we need iman, we need belief. And with belief, with iman, not only does a person's dunya get made, not only does his worldly life get made, but on top of that, Allah Ta'ala allows that person's akhirah to be made, his hereafter, which is a permanent life. And along with iman, another thing that is necessary, it is a condition that it needs to be attached with iman, without which iman is not complete, life is not complete. And the second thing is good deeds, virtuous deeds, amal salihat. So if iman comes and a person doesn't have amal and amal salihat, what does this mean, amal salihat? That life, that you live your life according to the right iman you have. For example, you have iman, and if you live your life according to your iman and you're doing good deeds, then this is called a'mal salihat. So the person who does this, who has iman and lives his life with good deeds, then his platform of life, his way of life is based on a'mal salihat. So if iman is there and a'mal salihat are there also, good deeds, righteous deeds, and you have a good, beautiful and nice, kamil, complete life, then we need another thing as well, a third item, a third factor, more important than the first two. If we don't have that, then these two also spoil, the first two things then spoil that person's life, and that's very important and necessary. So this is where a person loses out, falls down, collapses, you can say, and misses out on this third factor. So, insan, his amal are spoilt and his iman is spoilt if this third factor is not in place. If a person doesn't have this third factor correct, then iman and amal and deeds are spoiled. So what is this third thing? We need to think about this. Now the third thing which we have to think about, which is most important along with the first two, is that we need to accept the wisdom and the decisions of Allah. When iman is in the heart and amalu salihat are their good deeds, righteous deeds, and a person starts to live his life according to the framework Allah has given, there are different directions life can take, different turns, left and right. It's a journey, ups and downs, and to travel on a journey, many, you can say, challenges arise, tests arise, many things come, many challenges, sometimes happiness, sometimes distress, sometimes illness, sometimes good health. Different challenges, different tests, different obstacles, sometimes poverty, hunger, job comes, a job goes, work comes, work goes. Every time there are events that confront a person. And if events don't confront us, then the car has stopped. The journey has stopped. Obviously, when you go on a journey, the stations come, different phases come, different destinations come. You don't see one scene, different lands, different gardens. If you travel in a car, you see different types of houses, different regions, different areas. You see birds, you see nature, scenery, maybe mountains. So when me and you are on a journey, then we're not just going to be confronted with one steady state, are we? Always, if the car is moving, the train is moving, the vehicle is moving, then the journey of life will go through different phases. And we'll be confronted with different challenges. We have to accept this. So if we want constant, same steady state, we don't want ups and downs, we don't want issues. But Allah says such issues will confront you, then you don't even know what's about to come. We don't know that if I sit here, what's going to happen next? Do you know what's going to happen next? While we're sitting here, nobody can predict correctly. Who has the ilmul ghaib? Allah is the one who has the ilmul ghaib. Allah. Qiyamah could come in a few seconds. The sky could split. The sun could bow down, drop. Ramadan's gone, Quran will go, everything will go. Is anything left behind? So what do we know? Well, the journey of life progresses, and where does it stop? Okay, the whole world stays, and your button may be pressed for your life to finish. Your death may come. That's it. You may be sitting down, you breathe in, and then you don't breathe out. You may pass away, because this is how the breath will go, isn't it? Or will somebody, a friend of yours, say, oh, take another breath. The breath, he inhales, and he won't be able to exhale. And if he doesn't exhale, the people around us, or me, or whoever, will say, oh, he's passed away. Someone's coming, somebody's going, somebody's coming, somebody's going. So he breathes in, cannot breathe out. Inhaled, cannot exhale. Or exhaled, cannot inhale. And if you can't inhale, they'll say, dead body. He's not Hazrat Sahib, not Peer Sahib, no Maulana Sahib, no Qari Sahib, no Shaykh Al-Hadith, nothing, no title remains. What does he become? The dead body. Person who's died. History. Quickly, give the ghusl. Quickly, the dead body, and prepare for the burial. Just the title has gone. Just one action, that you breathe in and you can breathe out. Or you breathe out, you can breathe in. Just one breath, we were short and life has left us. This is the summary of life, my friend. So these events will occur, old age will come, distress will come. So when all of these events occur, then it's not necessary that we understand all of this. Will we understand all of this? Will we? We cannot understand. We cannot overcome all those. MashaAllah, you've come. Please, I am not able. How can I sit and speak in front of you? Please come forward. Anyway, so I couldn't understand. Alhamdulillah, that due to the barakah of Hazrat, some words will come out from my mouth. That Iman has come. This is for a good life. For a good life. Iman has come. And righteous deeds have come. The two first factors. But a good life hasn't come. A good life hasn't come. So a man says, what's the reason for this? As I said, the car will drive. And challenges will come. Tests and illness, problems, worries, challenges. And the story of life will continue. The car will continue. So we'll see everything, won't we? The platform keeps on changing. The stations keep on changing. So here then a person starts to tremble or shake. He says that I pray salah and I keep the fast. So why is this all happening with me? See this now then. The work starts. So tell me, that Iman and righteous deeds, do they help a person in that? When that challenge comes, then he's losing out. So we need a third factor. If we don't have that third factor in our lives, then the first two factors will fail. Remember this, that you are brothers, Sufis, pay attention to what I'm saying. That if we don't create that third factor and develop it, then the first two factors will get knocked down. Why? Because I was told by Mulana Sahib, Peer Sahib, that if you do this, you start praying Salah and this will happen, you'll be fine. I can't understand now that some people said you were okay before and now you're worse. That you were good before, you didn't do dhikr before, and Hazrat Sahib took hold of you, and now you're on this path, you change, your path has changed, and maybe your business will flourish, maybe the fighting, quarreling will end at home, but now I've got more problems, more darkness, and this happens sometimes. So this is the situation that we need to be able to handle. If we can understand this delicate point, that if the third factor we don't develop in our life, then we will get affected by problems when they arise. And many people then go backwards. They start backbattling. The few people, friends of ours, they come for a few years, they come, they start doing dhikr. When a problem doesn't cease, they say, oh, what's the point of doing dhikr and remembering Allah? Somebody said that dhikr gives barakat, and then they get off the train in the next platform. They leave the journey. But this is not the reality. This is not the fact that life is better. Life is better. But he doesn't understand, that foolish person. Compare yourself, because you have Iman. And Iman is invisible, isn't it? And it gives you invisible happiness. Remember this. As I said to you, that after Iman, happiness comes to life. What happiness is that? That these are invisible, that we cannot see. They are happiness and good times that we cannot see. And that's a beautiful happiness which is attached to Iman. Subhanallah. Iman has a beautiful happiness. And the person who has Iman, he stays happy. And that person, for example, when a person has Iman and deeds, it doesn't affect him physically in life, but internally he's so happy. And it overwhelms all of the other issues and distress and the problems that a person has in life. Because it's invisible. The effect of Iman is invisible. So now a person's looking for physical effects. My physical life is not improved. My work's not improving. My business is not improving. Materially, I'm not improving. So he doesn't have that third factor. And the third factor is that that person has not accepted the wisdom of Allah. The hikmah of Allah. Allah's decisions. If a person has iman and righteous deeds, amalu salihat, and he accepts Allah's decisions and wisdom and Allah's hikmah, then that's it. He has sealed his iman. Why has this happened to me? Why am I having these worries? That person doesn't have this. What does this mean? What's the logic behind this? Why should it occur to me? What's the wisdom of Allah behind this? I need to understand this. Why are these events occurring in my family's life, my life? In reality, when an individual reaches to this stage, then remember, then he starts to wash his hands away from the good things, the barakah that Allah Ta'ala has given to him. He starts to detach himself. Detach himself, and then he diminishes in his iman. And Allah Ta'ala says that I dislike a person that he's standing up, he's firm, and turns and different challenges are coming to his life and tests, and he starts to make complaints and criticisms. Allah says, are you the God? Are you the creator? Am I? Allah says, you pray Salah a few times, and now you want your life to be steered the way you want? And you think everything according to your desires is what should occur? No, this is not the reality. So the work of the servant is that he should accept happily all of the challenges that arise in his life that Allah Ta'ala gives him. This hadith Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says, and the meaning of this hadith is that Allah Ta'ala says that the person who is not pleased on what I have destined, the person who is not pleased on what I have destined, on the conditions that he has in his life, then what he should do is make another person his Lord, his God. Go and worship another God. Go and worship another Lord. If you're not happy with what I am giving to you and what I have destined, then go and ask from somebody else, Allah says. Whatever happens in your life, the human being's job is to be the servant, to accept with happiness, to accept. And that's when the happiness of iman will come. Why, how, why should happen, why did this happen to me, why is it occurring with me, why are my jobs or my actions got challenges and tests, is it me who had to have distress and unhappiness, my Ramadan was passing nice and I had to get ill now, look at that person, he's so sinful and all of his work is progressing and I started praying Salah and problems had to come to me, why to me? So a person who creates these thoughts and doubts in front of Allah, and he presents such a case, that why are you doing these things? Why am I going up? I have got ups and downs. I remember an event which I heard from a great sheikh, and this is present in the kitabs. It was a Sheikhul Hadith in Karachi who mentioned this event. And I heard this event from him, and I feel like I'd like to share this event with you, so that we get some more islah, we rectify ourselves, purify ourselves. Because brothers, we shouldn't act like this. We shouldn't complain. That person is incomplete who doesn't accept happily the destiny that confronts him. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to us, these are all rewards from Allah. All treasures from Allah. Is this a small reward that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to pray Salah? Ask a person who doesn't have iman. Does he have tawfiq? Ask a person who doesn't have iman. That can he prostrate to Allah? Can he say Subhanallah once? And what is the enjoyment, the taste of saying Subhanallah? That when we say Subhanallah here, then the enjoyment is felt by the angels. Let me explain this to you. We're not taking the enjoyment. That when you do dhikr Allah, then in reality we are not taking the enjoyment of this. Allah says the angels enjoy the taste. They are taking that benefit and they come to the earth, they descend down low. Who is it that's feeding us these beautiful dishes and tasty dishes? Let's see which insan is this and which masjid are they sitting. What action are they implementing? They have made us in the heavens rejoice and become happy. That's why they come to do the ziyarah of the human beings who are doing dhikr. So this event, a great wali of Allah passed away, Hazrat Kabir Rahmatullah Alayh. He was a great Sahib Kashfi, he was a visionary, he was a wali of Allah. I don't know too much about him, but he was a great sheikh. And all the pious predecessors have their rank and their status, their abdals and kutub and their ghawth, and Allah Ta'ala gives them their status and special results. So how much ulum they have, knowledge, what do they do? Allah Ta'ala knows best what is their function, what is their duty. But a person who is a wali of Allah, everybody considers him as unique and special. In the same way, Hazrat Kabir Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a great sheikh, wali of Allah. What maqam, status did he have? He was Qutb al-Arshad, al-Ghawth. Allah knows best. But he was pious, he was a wali. And we realize his maqam from this event, that what status did he have? So his nephew wrote this event, which is in the kitabs, in the books. He said, once I went to see my uncle. So his nephew wrote this. He said, once I went to see my uncle, like an uncle will go to see his a nephew will go to see his uncle. And he said, without any formality, I went into his house, into his room. And then suddenly I was shook. I was surprised. I was a bit taken aback. Until today, I've not seen this scene. that have not seen this condition or this company around my uncle or this sitting, that I couldn't go back and I couldn't go further forward into the room. I thought, what should I do now? He said, as I saw next to Hazrat, next to my uncle, that there was such a man sitting with my uncle that I'd never seen myself in my life before that, or nor would you ever contemplate seeing him. And he was so big and tall and broad and powerful in the form of a man. And Hazrat and him are speaking, and they were sitting near to each other and they speak to each other, and he was asking something, Hazrat was replying, and I was shocked and taken aback and a little bit sort of worried that I couldn't understand what was going on, that I'd never seen a man like this before. I was thinking about this man, that who is this man? He's so unique and special in his look. Anyway, he said that after that, in my heart came a thought that this man, where has he come from? That how did he get through this door? He's just too big to even get through this door. He's massive. He said, let me see how he will leave the sitting. So let's see how the sitting concludes and how he will leave or depart. So how can he? He said, I was just thinking this, and the man, the guest of my uncle, and their discussions ended. When they ended the discussion, he said, what did I see? He didn't come to the door to leave. He was leaving from the window. From the window. I said, huh? How is he leaving from here? Is it Ajib? Ajib creation. And I was thinking about the door. He will come out the door. And he left from the window. He exited from the window. He said, anyway, I put myself together. After a little while, I said, Assalamu alaikum to my uncle. Then I pulled myself together and said, uncle, I got the courage to ask. I said, uncle, I've never seen a man like this before. Who is this? And he knew that his uncle's maqam was great and he had a great status. And obviously, there was some reason behind this. And his uncle said, yes, he is a certain man from a certain place. And he said, uncle, please tell me, who is this man? I'm a bit taken aback. I've never seen a man like this. And his uncle said, now you're asking, okay, I will tell you that this man, this guest who just came, you know the ocean, in English we say the Pacific Ocean. It's a very big ocean. You know how big is this ocean? It's like a world in itself, the Pacific Ocean. So vast, broad, expansive. The surface area it covers. We studied this when I used to study. Then I studied the subjects of the earth, and this was my subject, alhamdulillah, geology and the skies and the heavens and the stars. So when we studied the oceans, I was amazed that what is this ocean, this sea, what is within this ocean? And in reality, science until today has not learnt and come to awareness of what is within the Pacific Ocean. That we are shocked when we read about it, but the ocean is such a world, such creatures Allah has made that live within the ocean, such items and forms of creation, that science until today has not completed its study and research and development, research of what's in the Pacific Ocean. Even now research takes place. New things come out. So he stated that the Pacific Ocean, his uncle said, that Allah Ta'ala has given him the charge. He is the head of the Pacific Ocean. He looks after that whole region. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is the work of Allah. This is how Allah Ta'ala teaches the people of the world. So obviously he must have a status. So what did Allah Ta'ala give to him? The charge, the supervision of the whole Pacific Ocean region. And he was looking after that world and all the creatures there. And his uncle said, there's an island there within the Pacific Ocean and he lives there. He said, uncle, how comes? And he came to see you? And his uncle said, yes, he's in charge of the Pacific Ocean. But he said, I'm a bit sad that when I spoke to him today, I was a little bit sad. And he said, why, uncle? He said, I didn't tell him why I was sad. Look here. So his uncle's status was greater than that head of the Pacific Ocean. And the uncle knew that Allah Ta'ala has put him on a high status. And that, he said, I've not told him. I didn't tell him when he came to me, he would be upset. But his condition is not good. He's not in a good spiritual state. He's not in a good state. So he said, uncle, what's happened? This is an event to hear, my friends. He said, look, what can I say to you? But will you understand? He said, yes, uncle, I'll understand what you said, what you will tell me. What is the reason? Why is that man, his status? Why is he not in a good position? So the uncle said, it's nothing to be upset about, but I didn't tell him. If I told him, then the poor soul would have been really upset here and really distraught. So I thought I'd let him go. And the nephew said, uncle, tell me, what is it? What's wrong with him? And his uncle said that the situation that's confronted this person is that Allah Ta'ala has taken his status away from him. Allah Ta'ala has snatched his status away from him. The status, the rank, the piety that Allah Ta'ala gave to him, Allah Ta'ala said, his uncle said that Allah has taken that away from him. He is no more what he was before. And the nephew said, is it? He said, yes. He said, uncle, didn't you tell him? He said that if I have permission, can I tell him? Can I go and tell him? Subhanallah. And the uncle said, okay, fine, go and tell him. You explain to him. He said, well, he'll realize, but you tell him if you want to. So He didn't ask uncle, why did this happen? Why did Allah take his status back? He said, I didn't ask that to my uncle. He said, where is he? And uncle said that he's on a certain island. And his uncle had said, Karim, he said, while we were speaking. And then when I was conscious, then I was on that island. How did I reach there, arrive? He said, I don't know. Maybe Mamu said, you can give him the news and such a effect took place on me. And I arrived to the island, and the island was ajeeb. He said, when I reached to the island, that man was walking past. And he said, suddenly, he was walking past me, in front of me. He said, how comes you've just arrived there, suddenly? And he said, how comes you've come here? Why have you come here? He recognized me. He recognized me. I said, I've brought some news for you. He said, what news have you brought for me? He said, I don't feel like in my heart to tell you. My uncle didn't tell you, but my heart feels that I share this with you. He said, what news have you brought? What is it you want to share with me? He said that your status has ended. Allah Ta'ala has removed your status, your rank and your piety, and this has been announced. And that's it. That man, the head of the Pacific Ocean, his hal suddenly changed. He cried so much that you cannot imagine. He said, the nephew, I don't have words to describe the regret and the crying and the sadness that he went through. He said that it looked like the whole of the Pacific Ocean was crying with him. Every fish and every bird and everything. It looked like all the creatures in the world were crying with him. He was shrieking and screaming and crying and prostrating. He didn't bring his head up from the ground. He was totally at loss, distraught. He said, I was afraid, Allah. What's about to occur? What's going to happen? He's so upset. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Then Allah Ta'ala announced. Allah Ta'ala announced that my servant, go, I have forgiven you. Subhanallah. But one thing, listen clearly, it is not the forgiveness. I didn't forgive you because of your crying. I didn't forgive you because of your regret and remorse. That your regret and crying is nothing compared to that sin that you committed. And this is not the means to your forgiveness. The reason why I've forgiven you is because when you were crying, the angels fell unconscious in the heavens. And when they started to cry and sob, and they were sad, Allah said, I could not bear their sadness, so I forgave you for that reason. Otherwise, your sin would not have been forgiven. Amazing. Then when he pulled himself together, I said to him, the nephew said, that I don't understand what's happened here. He said, don't ask, it's better if you don't ask. But you are the son or the relative of my sheikh, so I will tell you. He said that what occurred was that this was my foolishness, that some days back, it rained here in this region. It wasn't heavy, it was just drizzling. And I left my home and I saw the light rain. He said, when I left my home, we say drizzling low impact rain. So he said that this ocean around here, the Pacific Ocean, and if there's drizzle rain falling on the ocean, what's the point of this? There are many thousands of people in the world. Their lands are dry, Africa, other regions. If the rain fell, they would have been better. He said, that's all I said. He said, that was it. I just said that, and I interfered in Allah Ta'ala's affairs and Allah's cycle. Because remember, when a person is, the more pious a person is, the more Allah Ta'ala will account that for that person. If a person prays his salah, then he will be accounted on that level. If that insan is a muttaqi, then Allah will grab him based on him being a muttaqi. If he's an alim, then Allah will grab that person, and he cannot compare or complain that others, he's not following sunnah, why should I follow sunnah? The alim. That his maqam, your maqam is different to the others. Remember this point. Remember, a hafiz of Quran, then his accounting will be more severe. And if a person isn't hafiz, it will be less. A person knows deen, has the knowledge in, and despite that he is sinning, may Allah forgive, then he will be grabbed, and his accounting will be more severe based on his rank. So the more higher a rank a person has, if a person is taken to his, then Allah Ta'ala says, I will grab that person. So first thing, three people will be asked the question from the whole of the universe, the people who are the greatest. Remember, I told you this before, that this all starts from the heights, because there are more rewards for this, Allah Ta'ala says. If you are on a higher rank, higher status, then the worldly rewards are greater. Remember, Allah Ta'ala says that the alim, his rank, his status is high. And a normal person, can he compare with a hafiz or with an alim or with a scholar? No. So in the same way, there are three stages. Remember, we spoke on this. So that according to the rank of a person, his status, Allah Ta'ala, despite your status and knowledge and awareness, you sinned. So first and foremost, Allah will call the three, alim, the hafiz, the qari. First step, the category will be those who had the link with the Quran. Allah will call them, what were you doing? What did you do? You'll say, Allah was an alim, I used to read Quran, I was pious, I did this and that. Allah, I did it all for you. Remember, the alim, every second, his job is to practice out the deen and to spread the deen. And Allah said, is it? Who did you do it for? And he will say, Allah did it for you. Allah will say, you are even lying now. At that time you were deceiving yourself and others. At that time you didn't understand. And even now in front of me, Allah says, you lie. So all of the actions you did, you didn't do for my sake, Allah Ta'ala says. You know better that why you did what you did. You didn't do it for your Rabb. You did it for the ghayr, for the strange people. And you had no sincerity and desire to worship Allah. It was just the words from your mouth. You had other objectives. You earned the world and status and fame. And you brought up your children. And you wanted the glory. And this is what you wanted in the world. So that's the first stage of person will be questioned. And Allah will say, take him into hellfire. Such a high status person. And the deputies of the Nabi. The scholars. So the higher status a person has. Let's take a dhakir. Who remembers Allah. Who's doing his tazkiyah. And his maqam, he'll be accounted for on that maqam. You cannot compare yourself to those who don't have knowledge. A dhakir cannot compare with a non-dhakir. After coming to this path, you cannot compare, oh, he's not doing practice on the sunnah. How can I practice the sunnah? That you have to be more cautious. And you have to progress in the rank. That even the small sunnahs, they will become lazim. And you'll get greatness due to practicing all of the sunnah. Remember this, be careful. The higher a person is, the more he has the status and nearness to Allah, then he will be accounted more severely. And his accounting will be more detailed. So, I thought, what will be Zibada, the maqam of this head of the Pacific Ocean? And me and you, if we are jahil, we are illiterate, just like I am sitting in front of you, useless. And if I keep speaking and I don't say the right things, maybe this will just get by. But a pious person, an abid, a salih, and a pious elder, a wali, then he cannot put forward excuses to Allah. He cannot make small excuses to Allah that I didn't know or I wasn't this and that. So this is the hikmah of Allah. The wisdom of Allah. Do you understand what is hikmah? Wisdom. That never should a human being, an individual in his life, if a life is confronted by challenges, you're in the car, you're driving, or you're in the train, and it's traveling, and you will see different scenes and different phases, and the car or the vehicle or the transport will continue, different trees, lands, fields, new countries, regions, states. As long as the journey of life continues, ups and downs, problems, happiness, and these are all the decision of Allah. Why did I get ill? Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. So when hikmah of Allah comes, and iman comes, and belief comes, and amal salihah comes, and Allah's hikmah comes, then that person doesn't stay in the dunya, he's in Jannah, in paradise. He's in Jannah, in paradise. And that person, people say, oh, he doesn't have food to eat, he's always reading the Quran, the poor soul, he teaches others. Ask that person how much enjoyment he is experiencing in his food, if this third factor comes. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says that person knows that everything that Allah Ta'ala has destined, Allah Ta'ala has ordained, he knows that I am teaching people Quran, this is my life, and the greatness of this is so much that if I want it, if I put my hand here, maybe the spring will gush full from that. But Allah Ta'ala wants to keep me in muflisi, in poverty, and this is Allah's glory, his status, and Allah's hikmah, wisdom, and I've accepted this, and I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this, and he accepts, the person accepts, and that's when his life, the new enjoyment starts. Then he gets enjoyment from iman and amalus salihat, and subhanallah, Allah's pleasure, he starts to enjoy Allah's pleasure as well at the same time. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now the maqsad, the objective, this was the basis of my discussion. We have to do dhikr here as well. This was just the beginning. You can say introduction or basis or foundation of our sitting. Sometimes I have to explain with English words. So this was an introduction, or you can say breaking the ice. And now we're coming to the maqsad, because we're in Ramadan and we are fakir, we are dependent, we are beggars to Allah. We've come to Allah's house, and just like, for example, if a beggar goes to the king's palace, so we are fakir, we are useless, we are muhajir, and we have come to the great house. And whose guests are we? That Ramadan is not our guest. People say Ramadan is our guest. We are the guests of Ramadan. Say subhanallah, we are the guests of Ramadan. Not vice versa. Ramadan doesn't disappear. It stays here all year. Then ask those people whose houses Ramadan stays in. It doesn't leave. Ramadan is we who are the guests. We practice for 4 days or 30 days. But those people, for their whole life, they come to Ramadan. They stay with Ramadan. And their Ramadan doesn't disappear. The same beautiful practice continues for the rest of the year. And this is the rahmah of Allah. This is the mercy of Allah. This is the barakah of Allah. And that's why their du'as are accepted. Their Ramadan does not disappear. It stays intact. Our Ramadan disappears after 30 days. It goes one for a walk. So Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, my brothers, this is all based on Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. So let me come to the point now. The whole month of Ramadan and all of the barakat hinges on Allah's hikmah, wisdom. Why do we take a meal in the pre-dawn? Why do we break fast, iftar? Why do we take sips of water? Why this? Why that? Ramadan, my wife is halal for me. Why do I have to leave her? Okay, if I leave in the day, but I can't go to in the night. Why 20 rakat tarawih? Why not 10? Why do we have to pray at this time? Why? Why? This masala question. So if we understand something, then for example, Ramadan, this is the philosophy of Ramadan. There's no philosophy, there's no logic, there's hikmah of Allah. Say subhanAllah. Hikmah. Allah's hikmah, we cannot change that to philosophy. People give speeches. Come, let's discuss the logics of Ramadan, the philosophy of Ramadan, the bounties of Ramadan, the philosophy. What's the philosophy? Yes, it's good for the health, and it's like a diet, and your stomach and digestive system is improved, and science proves this. The philosophy of Ramadan, who can reach to the hikmah and the wisdom of Ramadan? It's so deep, so massive, we can never even get to the understanding. So everything is based on Allah's hikmah. Why is it based on Allah's hikmah? Ramadan has come for us. We are linked to Ramadan. And that's why it's based on Allah's hikmah. That Allah, 30 days, Allah is making us practice by keeping fast. That have yaqeen and certainty on this amal. That there is the hikmah of Allah. There is the wisdom of Allah. And this is the masala that we need to understand. That you are spending your whole life by practicing. Allah says you have iman. You have step number one. Then you have next step number two. Amal of salihat. But your whole life that you are living, you are not living in the correct way. You keep on asking why and if and but and criticism. You're challenging your Lord Allah. Allah says, that's why I give you Ramadan, that when you fast with happiness, without asking questions, and you won't ask, why is this? Why this time? Quietly you'll take the suhoor. Quietly you will break the fast with iftar. You will accept halal and haram as halal and haram. You'll do everything. And as you are doing this, so what we realize, hey, Allah says, is the rest of your life you have to spend like this as well. And you will spend the life of Ramadan, and you're fresh and you have iman. And that's why when you come to Allah after living such a life, then you will come in the same way, totally with iman and belief and conviction. And this is how a person is when he leaves Ramadan. So is anyone asking you from the morning? Has anyone until today, has anyone asked Mawlana Sahib the Masala? Why do we do the pre-dawn meal, suhoor, before dawn? Why in the evening do we do iftar? And why is this halal? Why is this not permissible? And no, nobody asks questions. Look at the pre-dawn time and eats breakfast and then runs to the masjid going here, left and right, and iftar, and it's the breaking of the fast. And everyone does it without asking, without any doubts, without any questions. So Allah says, after Ramadan, spend the rest of your life with this illness, happiness, ups, downs, car, accident, house has fallen down, water is not there, the tap's broken. Everything is based on Allah's hikmah and wisdom. And Allah says that you can do dua to me. Do dua to me. The doors are open. I'm not preventing you doing dua. But we should have yaqeen that this is Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. And we should have belief in that. That's it. Everything's totally fine how it should be. So why and ifs and buts? I've explained to you, I've told you the event that we should not complain and make complaints. So let's take a hikmah of Ramadan that I would like to share with you. Explain to you. The wisdom of Ramadan. And this is something very useful. I'll tell you one hikmah of Ramadan. One wisdom. So we say, why is Allah... when Ramadan starts and all the events come in the hadith, that Allah Ta'ala has chained the shaitan, locked up the shaitan. So who is Allah Ta'ala locked up? Shaitan, who is our avowed enemy. Yeah? We remember this every year, innit? That we remember our friends, isn't it, in Ramadan? Yes? So he's our friend and he's got locked up. He's chained up. And Allah says that then you have the nafs to contend with your desires, but shaitan's been locked up. So now I ask a question. Hikmah, what's the wisdom behind this? What's the logic behind this? Hikmah, logic, why is this? And nafs is there, why is shaitan being locked up? This is Allah's wisdom. And to unravel this hikmah, so a little bit of the veil is drawn back. We realize, why is Allah Ta'ala imprisoned shaitan? Why is the nafs still there to influence us? So Allah Ta'ala locked up shaitan and all shaitan. And there are many shaitan, big shaitan, small shaitan. And they're all like sinners and evil, khabeez shaitan, locked up. So now what happens when shaitan is locked up, banged up? Then we see the result of people. Do you feel pain in praying salah today? Is it a problem? Is it a big challenge? No challenge. That morning to evening you're hungry, thirsty. In normal days you don't come to Isha Jamaat. Maybe I don't come to Isha Jamaat. And for 30 days we run to Isha and Taraweeh like some treasure is being distributed, or plots of land are being distributed, or the masjids are full. Alhamdulillah. So what is the reason behind this? And no salah is left. We all come to masjid. We are reading Quran and doing dhikr, going to God's good deeds, running from sins. We listen to good words. There's a mistake. We accept it. What's the reason for this? Then some days the whole world has changed. The whole world has changed. Just because the new moon of Ramadan was Ramadan. Why? The reason, because who influences us to do the sins and bad actions? The wretched shaitan. All of the darkness and the illnesses and the sins that are implemented in life, shaitan, he doesn't allow us to come to salah, read Quran, do good deeds, virtuous deeds. Allah Ta'ala now in Ramadan has imprisoned him, locked him up. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when he is locked up, then we are free. Just the nafs is left and the base desire. So Allah Ta'ala has cooled down the nafs with hunger. Now we are free to do good. And we will do now those actions which are linked to iman. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. How can it be that when our genuine article of life has come in front of us and there's no influence from shaitan, he's locked up, nafs is suppressed, we'll get enjoyment. We'll pray salam, we'll pray tahajjud so nicely. How many Quran have you completed? 15, 10, reading Quran, was walking, praying salah. And these small sins that you did before, no, I can't do this. Ramadan's here, I'll spoil my Ramadan, my fast. No, nobody's going towards sins apart from running to Allah. We're not running anywhere. We're all like angels. Why? Reason? Because shaitan has been chained up, locked up. So we've understood this point. Now let's come to the next point. After 30 days, shaitan will be released. He will come back to the world. So the fast asks us a question that people, 30 days Allah Ta'ala protected you from shaitan, took him far from you and locked him up, and you became true human beings and you carried out all the actions in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's desire. So now Allah Ta'ala has unraveled a secret. Allah Ta'ala has removed the veil from one of his secrets. A bit of hikmah Allah Ta'ala has shown. And the hikmah Allah Ta'ala has shown is that all your deeds that are spoilt by who? By who? Shaitan. That's why you're destroyed and you're lost and he takes you to Jahannam. Allah says, I've removed the veil, I've imprisoned him, and now you are all on the right path. You understand the point? So now after 30 days, the shaitan will come back and you have to live the rest of your life. So you need to implement the same formula. Say subhanallah. Same formula. You're the rest of your life, if you want to spend a good life, then you have to follow the same formula. What? That we need to lock up shaitan and not be his friends for the rest of the year. And just like today in Ramadan, Allah says, I've imprisoned him, but I give you power after Ramadan for the rest of the year. You can imprison shaitan. And he will be imprisoned. He will be locked up. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And what hikmah, wisdom of Allah. Great, great hikmah here. Great. So this is a hikmah, wisdom. Beautiful point. Allah Ta'ala says that Ramadan, you're not just constrained to Ramadan. Allah says that you have to live somebody 80 years, somebody 70 years, somebody 100 years, somebody 50 years, somebody less, more. Life will go. Shaitan will go. Allah says, I want you to live your whole life like this. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want any mu'min to go to hellfire. Jahannam. All of the Ummati Muhammadi, Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala says, I have no happiness that any mu'min, a person who says the kalima, la ilaha illallah, that he ends up in Jahannam, hellfire. Allah doesn't want this. Allah's prepared for our forgiveness and our success. Allah says, I've given you full power. I've explained to you, given you example in Ramadan, how shaitan's locked up. But Allah says, after Ramadan, I've given you strong power, that shaitan will not even come close to you. Rather, he will melt and burn and he'll be finished. He'll be eliminated if you want to eliminate him. Allah says, he will not even come close to you, shaitan, the devil. And if shaitan cannot come close to you, then what will you become? You'll become ghawth and the kutab, mujaddad, and a great Muslim, a great beloved of Allah. Allah says, that my wali, my friend, that he will have strong iman. Allah says, when you have iman, I'll make you my wali, my friend. I'll give you darajat, status in paradise. You will have great, great rank. Now we understand, my friends, what do we understand? That the rest of our life, that the fast we have kept and we've made our life successful, then the rest of the life when we do mujahida, we make effort, then don't make shaitan your friend. And not just shaitan, but we have to imprison him in our whole life. We have to keep him imprisoned. Lock him up. Allah, what prison have you given us? What chain and key? How can we shackle him? How can we keep him locked up? Allah says, I gave you the power. What is that power? وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Subhanallah. Allah says, as long as you do my dhikr, remember me, as long as you remember me, shaitan will not come near to you. He will not come into that house. He will not come to that place. He will not come near to you. Rather, where you sit and do dhikr, the earth will become such a place that the beings in the heaven, they will see you as a star, as a sparkling, glowing light on the earth. Just like today, Ramadan, people in the world are looking at Ramadan, the noor, the light, the sparkle. What's the reason? Your amal are being sent up to the heavens. They are glowing and sparkling in the world. That you are sparkling, glowing for the beings in the heavens, the angels, the makhluk, the creatures in the heavens. They're saying, are these those people who were like this before Ramadan? They were dark and now how they suddenly transformed. But when a Muslim does the right thing and he starts to shine, so a person in his house who does dhikr and he has this effect, and the person sitting on a piece of land and does dhikr, and he has this effect, and the person who does dhikr in the heart of In his heart, imagine his state. How can shaitan come there? How will that person disobey and commit sins? Never. Wherever sins are committed, always where there's haram, where there's wrong, where there's sin, it happens there where the dhikr of Allah is not taking place. Allah says the alim becomes useless who doesn't do dhikr of Allah. The hafiz becomes useless who doesn't do dhikr of Allah. The same people, insan, every human being becomes useless who doesn't do dhikr of Allah. Haji is useless who doesn't do dhikr of Allah. Whoever rank, status, whatever position, all the amal are useless because shaitan is useless. When he disappears, he runs away when a person does dhikr. And afdhul dhikr, the greatest action is the dhikr of Allah, and the greatest dhikr is la ilaha illallah. Hafiz sahib, he should do this dhikr. Alim sahib, he should do this dhikr. Haji sahib should do this dhikr. Every Muslim, every person who has iman in the world, if you want to ward off shaitan, if you're sitting to read Quran, do dhikr first. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. First recite Allah's name, Quran will give you benefit. Otherwise shaitan will come and get involved in your Quran. You've opened the kitab of Allah. You've opened the kitab of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says many people read the Quran and then the Quran says la'na on them, curse on them, because shaitan is influenced their life. They get the wrong message from the Quran. The same Quran that due to the Quran today misinterpreted and misused, thousands of sects in the world today, groups, people stand up and give dawah, sunnah is not necessary. They propagate the wrong dawah. They take hold of the Quran today and say hadith is not necessary, you don't have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What's the reason? Because they didn't do dhikr in their heart. They didn't have the company of a wali of Allah. So wretched shaitan influenced them in their ibadah. Because the dhikr of Allah is powerful and strong and is the precursor to success. Our aqabirin, our pious predecessors, look at their lives. That did anyone pass? Hazrat Rashid Ahmed Gangohi rahmatullahi, subhanallah, may Allah Ta'ala's mercy come on his grave, that he was the student of Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi. May Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with grave. And didn't he go to him for tazkiyah? Yes. He rectified his life, improved it due to the tazkiyah, the company of his sheikh. So Hazrat Tanvi rahmatullahi, Hazrat Saharanpuri rahmatullahi, Hazrat Qasim Nanotmi rahmatullahi, these lights, these beacons, they're such beacons, they are the pillars of light and guidance for us. Look at their lives. They all benefit from that one sheikh. Look at their life, how much dhikr and adhkar they did in their lives. One event I always share that I heard from my sheikh. Subhanallah, didn't he understand? Didn't they know? The Hazrat, he grew up there. He learnt everything there. He had his company there. You know about him. His history was something unique. Hazrat, my sheikh, he was the student of Hazrat Tanvi Ramtha. This was my sheikh. And Hazrat told me this event himself. And you know, this is in the kitabs, the books, this is included, the importance of the Hazrat Rashid Ahmed Gangohi rahmatullahi. Who doesn't know his rank in knowledge and ilmiyat? Tell me one subject of deen that he did not work on, that he was not a master in, that he didn't have a maqam in. The ulama, the scholars will tell you, I don't know, I don't have the knowledge, I'm not worthy of sharing this, I don't have the knowledge. The scholars will tell you how great he was, Hazrat Rashid Gangohi rahmatullahi. He said it was afternoon time, and they said the Hazrat's eyesight was weak in the final days of his life, and purposely he did not take the solution. When the student said, Hazrat, please take the solution, the cure for your eye, but Hazrat Gangohi, and Hazrat said, what's the necessity of this to improve my eyesight? It's got weak an eye. If I can't see, will my salah go? No, I can stay in maraqba, always my eyes are closed anyway, I'm doing dhikr of Allah. So what's the need if my eyes are weak now anyway in my vision? I have to stay in maraqba and remember Allah, that I don't want to waste my salah if I have to go for the cure. This was Hazrat. He said it was afternoon time. He came out of his hujra. And who was saying this? Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith and Hazrat Ilyas Ab rahmatullahi, both were sitting outside the room of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi. It was afternoon time, hot. And Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi came out of his room and he said, he couldn't see. He said, is anyone sitting here? Is anyone here this time? Allah knows at that time why he came out of his room. And Allah Ta'ala wanted to demonstrate an example that he had some kashf and vision, that he came out of his hujra, his room in the afternoon. Otherwise, who comes out at that time? And he said, is anyone here? Anyone here? And maybe there was some message for the ummah. Maybe in his kashf, he knew that these two individuals are sitting here and they have a link with them. And I say this, this humble servant says this, that this link was with those two individuals who were sitting there. Those two Hazrat respected individuals. That Allah Ta'ala wanted them to work of deen of tabligh. And this is it, isn't it? They were the heads of tabligh jamaat, weren't they? And maybe Allah Ta'ala wanted to give them this message. Anyway, Allah knows best, but this thought has come into my heart. There was no one else there at that time. So they said, Hazrat, he said, I am Ilyas sitting here, and here is my nephew with me, Zakaria. Zakaria is with me. So Hazrat Mawlana Ilyas Sahab and Hazrat Zakaria Sahab were there, and they said, and Hazrat Rashid Gangohi said, are you sitting here? They said, yeah. He said, be careful of one thing. Be careful of one thing, that whatever you get, you will attain from the dhikr of Allah. Never leave the dhikr of Allah. What is your hal condition? However you do it, whenever, dhikr will give you success. He just said this and he went back into his room. Subhanallah. Precise, concise, impactful statements. Subhanallah. So these two respected, honorable personalities were given the message that due to this action, your tabligh will have success. If you don't have dhikr in your tabligh, then you will be wandering around without the ruh. Remember, this is in the kitabs. This is sealed. Don't consider that every action is dhikr. Dhikr, the unique form of dhikr, the name of Allah. This is the asal, genuine dhikr that you have to do. Otherwise, every action of a mu'min is dhikr. I'm speaking, this is dhikr. You are sitting, this is dhikr. Reading Quran is dhikr. Every action you will eat, that is dhikr. I say even going to the wife, that is also dhikr. Everything is dhikr. But the unique, genuine article, the action of dhikr, this is what we're talking about. So such great individuals, personalities, they were given this message. Allah has explained to us in Ramadan. If you want to live a good life after Ramadan, I've given you iman, Allah says, good deeds, virtuous deeds. But now understand my hikmah, accept my hikmah, my wisdom. And without any questions, you have to live your life. Don't doubt, criticize, whatever happens to you, whatever shaitan comes with, he injects whispering into your mind against my hikmah. Why is this happening? Leave the deen. So to control shaitan, you have to do one action, Allah says. What is that? Everyone say it. Dhikr Allah. This is the message for today that Ramadan has brought to us. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq to practice this. If today we are steadfast on dhikr, and the rest of our life, every second we spend, remember the two times Allah Ta'ala has given, morning and evening. Apart from dhikr, we shouldn't do anything else. That we need to understand this point, that our Hazrat, if we look at their daily routine, they used to do dhikr morning and evening. Our pious predecessors, nothing else. Maraqabah, dhikr of Allah morning and evening, day and night. That's it. With regularity, do dhikr of Allah in your lives in both times, after Fajr until Ishraq, after Ishraq recite the Quran. But from Fajr until Ishraq sunrise, stay in Maraqabah, do dhikr of Allah. And the greatest dhikr is what? Dhikr qalbi, the dhikr of the heart. It's the greatest dhikr. 70 times more reward. And do the dhikr of Allah, Maraqabah in your heart. And to learn this, turn to a wali of Allah, a sheikh. You can't learn this yourself from the books. You cannot. Allah Ta'ala has given a source for every knowledge in Islam, every subject in Islam. That this is not a knowledge you can learn from the books. This is the knowledge you have to learn from the heart. And you have to go to the heart to obtain it. And this is the ilm, the knowledge of the heart. And you have to obtain it from the heart. You have to go to a fakir, a sheikh, to learn this dhikr. You have to sit in front of him, and then he will teach you this dhikr, qalbi, the dhikr of the heart. The person who is negligent, who doesn't learn, he will give loss to himself or herself. Remember this, and we will realize in the akhirah. Alhamdulillah, the people who do dhikr of Allah, shaitan's attack on them is less. They save from sin, their sins are less. And many sunnahs they do amal on, they have strength and power, and they start traveling towards Allah, and they have the strength. Allah Ta'ala gives them the ability. So anyway, the point is that alhamdulillah, this is an important factor for us to understand. Very essential and important for us in life, that a person, he will get a good effect, that he should do dhikr regularly in life. Totally and regularly we should do. That, for example, if we understand this is essential, the dhikr is essential, we should sit down and in the depths of our heart remember in isolation only. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say remember 10 hours or 1 hour. However much you can remember, even if 5 minutes you remember Allah, because you have other occupations. If you close your eyes in 5 minutes with ease, switch off the light and bow your head, and 5 minutes in the corner you do dhikr wa alhamdulillah, then this will be your steadfastness and enough for you for your whole day. To practice your deen, and shaitan will not come close to you the whole day. Shaitan won't come, the whispering won't come. May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you the tawfiq. Ramadan is here, and let's learn these things from the month of fasting. Great hikmahs and wisdom. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice this so that we can continue this way in the rest of our lives. So we can spend our time by doing the dhikr of Allah. Ameen.